Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The recent Winter Olympic Games and the Paralympics that followed it both played out in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Both games were praised for the way they were run, but for some of us, the Olympics may have sparked a bigger interest in understanding Korean culture.
We met Sehee Chang recently on this show when she joined us to talk about several aspects of Korean culture. But one thing that was left out of the opening ceremonies was Korean food, something Chang knows well. Part of her Korean education business in the Milwaukee area is teaching Korean cooking classes.
Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and Mayan Silver got a private lesson of their own one recent day in Chang's Whitefish Bay kitchen, where her passion for cooking started.
I learned from my mom, and, you know, she's my mentor, I guess, for everything, but specifically with cooking. She was cooking, like, every single day growing up, yeah. And you know, I think I told you earlier, I used to live in Kenya, and we grew up in Vietnam, and even in Nairobi, she was shopping at the city market for, like, Asian produce, and it was sort of difficult at that time in the 70s, but every day she would have, you know, a home-cooked meal for us. You know, I didn't appreciate it that much at that time, but you know, now I'm like, wow, I can understand, you know, how much time and effort she put into her cooking. And she's a fabulous cook. So I learned a lot from her.
Yeah. And when she was cooking in all these different countries trying to make Korean traditional dishes, did you find that all the other countries' influence made their way into what she was trying to make? Or did she try and keep it as Korean as possible?
You know, she was a pretty traditionalist in terms of, you know, cooking Korean food. However, my parents, because they were influenced by the cultural, you know, cookings of other countries, I remember she was like, well, let's try like using goat meat instead of beef for Korean barbecue. So sometimes she would try to experiment. I know that they loved Vietnamese cooking, and they love Vietnamese spices and flavors. But they didn't always know how to, I guess, meld it with Korean food. But I think, you know, they tried. I remember when we first moved to America, we were sort of shocked that Americans were eating turkey. When I went to elementary school in Korea, we had a pet turkey that we all took care of. So we were very surprised and, you know, sort of sad that Americans were eating turkey for Thanksgiving. But you know, when we started, of course, eating turkey for a Thanksgiving meal, my mom always had some Korean side dishes. And of course, we had kimchi with turkey.
That sounds good. All right. Well, so what are we going to make first here?
Rice is a huge staple in our cuisine. So I'm going to show you how to make a spicy rice cake dish called tteokbokki. And I love this dish because it's like everything to me. It's comfort food. And it's also street food, and it can be eaten as a snack, or it can be, you know, a one-pot meal. And sometimes it's also common to have tteokbokki and, you know, just, you know, festivities. So I love this dish, and it's really versatile and delicious.
Yeah, well, it's going to be especially great for a cold day like today and the rain we've had recently. Now, it says rice cakes, but they're more so a stick shape.
Yeah.
I think of cakes as like a round patty type deal.
I know. So we say rice cake, but it's not really a cake. What it is basically rice, you know, water and salt.
Okay.
And I'll show you what I did. I have to just go over here to my sink.
Chang shows us the once frozen packet of rice cakes that has been soaking in water for about 30 to 45 minutes. Chang says you can also use fresh rice cakes, which are ideal. You can find the frozen variety at most Asian food markets here in Milwaukee, or even order them online. Sometimes, if she really needs a special ingredient, Chang says she'll go down to Chicago. While the rice cakes finish soaking, we prepare and cut the vegetables.
Wow, you're pretty good.
I've had a lot of chopping practice.
You're actually very fast. You're better than me. Maybe I should.
I could do your prep work from now on.
Okay, I'll have you as my assistant.
Yes.
You're not too busy.
Not at all.
I love cooking. I think it brings people together. We try to have a family cooking night once a week. It's not always easy with my teenagers, but Yeah. I feel like just trying to chop and, you know, work together, mm-hmm. you have to be able to sort of collaborate, right? You're forced to.
Yeah.
My favorite experience was cooking with homeless teenagers at Pathfinders. And they were like, what is this? Or why do you do it this way?
Yeah.
And they learned a lot about sort of my cooking style and my cooking and my food. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot about their story. So it was wonderful and one of my favorite experiences cooking with other people. What I love about this dish, again, is that you can put so many different ingredients that you like. Mm-hmm. So, okay, today I'm using carrots. You know, the beautiful orange color. It's crunchy. It adds that texture. I have to have garlic. You need garlic in Korean cooking. If you don't have garlic, it's not Korean cooking. And then I have one onion. I may not use the whole thing. It's a pretty large onion.
Mm-hmm.
I like to add the onion just to sort of enhance the flavor. This dish also has some protein in it, but I'm going to make it vegetarian today.
Okay.
I have shiitake mushrooms today because I love shiitake mushrooms. Mm-hmm. They're called pyogo pasot in Korean, and this brings out the umami flavor. I think Korean cooking and Korean food is so flexible and versatile, like with any, you know, different types of cooking.
Yeah.
And I want you to use what you like, what you're going to eat, and be creative and have fun with it.
Once the vegetables are prepared, we drain the rice cakes and heat up the wok on the stove.
Let's start the sauce up here.
Okay.
So I have my little favorite wok. I'm going to turn it up on high.
The vegetables and a little bit of salt heat up in 2 to 3 tablespoons of oil until they are just tender.
Do you hear that sizzling?
Definitely.
Yeah. I love that sound, don't you?
I do.
I'm just going to keep it a simple, you know, broth, just with the onions, carrots, garlic, and some water, and then the Korean hot sauce.
Okay.
And of course, the umami flavor is going to be brought out by using the shiitake mushrooms.
Okay.
Chang adds a little bit of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of sugar, and reduces the heat to medium.
You know, I like my rice cake dish sort of saucy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and fluidy. Some people like it with less fluid, but I'm going to add almost a cup of water there.
Okay.
And then we're going to add the red chili pepper paste. So it's basically, if I can describe it, it's like fermented fermented soybean paste. Similar to Japanese miso, but it's spicy because it has chili peppers in it.
Chang adds additional salt and pepper to taste and lets the ingredients simmer together in the red sauce.
So you see how now the liquid is, you know, slowly disappearing and absorbed into the rice cake because you want that flavor to go into the rice cake. You see that?
I do.
That's why you need it. You know, at first a lot of people are like, oh, you're putting so much water in there. But now you know.
It goes
right?
away.
Yeah.
Quick. So you mentioned this is a really popular cold weather dish, a lot of street vendors. You know, what kind of memories do you have around either this dish or food in general? Is it a strong association for you to, like, eat a dish and remember a certain person or event?
Yes. You know, eating Korean food always reminds me of my family and all the good food that I was lucky to have. You know, it reminds me of my grandmothers, my aunts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because they always want to feed you. Koreans always want to feed you. They're worried that you're going to, like, starve. And, you know, I'm not starving.
Right.
One specific memory I have is ice skating in Seoul behind our apartment complex in a field of, like, there were pear trees everywhere. We were ice skating, and every time there's a little ice skating area, there's always a, you know, elderly lady selling a big pot of tteokbokki, rice cakes. So you warm up, and you have this, you know, wonderful, chewy, spicy dish while you're trying to warm up. And then you go back to the ice skating rink, and then you come back. And this was sort of my favorite memory.
We let the rice cake simmer on the stove for a while and move on to prepare savory Korean-style kimchi pancakes.
So we have, basically it's very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
1-to-1 ratio. Oh, you smell the kimchi already?
I do, yeah.
Chang says nearly every Korean family will have a big jar of kimchi in their kitchen. Kimchi is fermented vegetables, and the word itself simply means salted vegetables. Chang says different vegetables are brined in salt and flavored with various dried spices, garlic, ginger, and fish sauce or some type of seafood.
You know, the stereotype is, oh, you make a huge batch of kimchi and you bury it in the ground and the snow. And we used to do that like a long, long time ago. But, you know, nowadays, a lot of busy Korean moms, they have fancy, expensive kimchi refrigerators just for kimchi.
Chang says in Korea nowadays, it's about a 50-50 ratio of families who make their own kimchi. It's widely available in supermarkets, but there are still some traditions that hold.
We still have a tradition of fall kimchi making. It's like a harvest season where you get all the cabbage and you come together in groups of, you know, 20, 50, 100. Monks are making their own kimchi all over Korea, you know, elderly, the young. So it's also a communal activity to make kimchi. So I guess that's what I appreciate about kimchi making, the traditional aspects. I think it's really important to learn how to make your own kimchi if you're Korean, just because I feel like it connects me to my country and my culture again.
For the pancakes, we mix 1 cup of flour, 1 egg, and 1 cup of water.
So
Chang then adds 1 cup of kimchi as well as some freshly chopped green onions before combining the mixture.
Let's use more of the green part here. All right. I'm going to add a little less water because I'm going to add some kimchi juice.
Okay.
Yeah, and then let's see. Let's go from there. You know, you can see the batter is getting a little bit wet, right? Because the juice is coating it again. You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice orange color.
Yep.
The batter is a little thicker than a traditional American pancake batter, but Chang says you can alter it to your preference. She adds ground sesame seeds and pepper for flavor.
I don't think this is lacking any flavor, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Here. All right. So now we're ready to fry it up. You guys ready? I'll turn on the fan. So I liberally coated my frying pan here. I like to add a little extra oil because the pancakes need to be pretty crispy and a little bit oily. After all, it's pancakes, right?
Yes.
So, and it's, again, I love pancakes from the street market because, you know, they're just beautiful, lovely, so good. And it's like hot off the pan and you're like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And it warms up literally your whole body. So
yeah.
Pancakes, again, are usually eaten when it's colder, a little gray, rainier day. Yeah.
The pancakes cook on the griddle until the edges become yellowish in color. Chang says that's when they're ready to be flipped.
So watch out, it's gonna get a little oily. Ah, watch out, are you okay with it?
Yeah, I'm all good.
Oh, isn't that pretty? So, what I love is this golden brown color.
Chang mixes a dipping sauce for the kimchi pancakes made with soy sauce, rice vinegar, garlic, green onions, and chili flakes.
So while the pancake is getting almost ready, I'm going to simmer up the rice cake so we can go, you know, serve ourselves and we can try some. What do you think?
That'd be great.
We're both excited. The pancakes are cut into strips and enjoyed with the dipping sauce, and the rice cakes are spooned onto our plates to be eaten with chopsticks, of course.
So why don't you guys serve yourself and make sure you take everything. The rice cake, the kimchi pancake.
Oh, yes.
You
won't have to
convince me. Are you glad you signed up for this assignment?
I'm so glad.
The rice cakes are chewy, savory, and flavorful paired with the vegetables. And the kimchi pancakes may have just completely changed the way I think about my favorite griddled breakfast food.
Good?
Oh, they're crispy.
So
yummy.
Good.
I know. Mm. I got the nice charred green onion piece.
So if the Winter Olympics in South Korea inspired you to learn more about Korean culture, I suggest you start exploring in the kitchen. For Lake Effect, I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
Sehee Chang is the founder of Korea Connect LLC, a service that educates people about Korean culture, society, music, and food, and offers interpreting and translation services as well. She spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and Mayon Silver.